Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Greetings to my second family here in Barberton. It's about time we met face to face. And I want to give a special thank you to Fathers Miron and Marcella, Sarah, for the invitation. You probably know each other through the internet, more than by face even. Our great love of the fathers of the church, I think, has brought us together. This is my second divine liturgy in my life, celebrated in 2 days. So it's been a great blessing, so much beauty, so much love. When young Miron asked me to preach the first divine liturgy for him, I was honored to do so, of course, for a fellow priest and also for a dear friend. But when I heard his fellow priest in the sacristy yesterday, nervously laughing a little bit about the gospel for his first divine liturgy, I began to become a little bit suspicious. And then about a week ago, I talked to Father Miron by the phone, and I said, you know, the gospel for your first divine liturgy is the casting out of the demoniacs from Gadara. And he got that sheepish little grin on his face, which you probably all know very well. Oh, Father, I'm so sorry. I preached that a year ago, and it's very difficult. And he's right. It's challenging in so many different ways. But in my prayer and preparation for it, it became more and more obvious to me that it's the perfect gospel to reflect upon as one begins to serve as a priest in his church. There's so much that's beautiful, of course, to be able to provide those in your care with the sacramental life, all the grace and the beauty that it offers, the healing. But this gospel reminds us through these very gifts of God, also he gives us, and especially a priest, a responsibility to allow this grace to act upon us, to transform us in the most radical way. We must see the acts of Christ in this gospel as a recapitulation, if you will, a playing out in our own lives in the most personal manner, including his casting out of everything that affects and afflicts us, and especially the things that we cling to. We must acknowledge our need for such a thing, and sometimes humbly acknowledge that we resist this action of God's grace in our life and are afraid of it. And so Father Miron must do two things. He must humble himself before God in his own struggles and the acknowledgement of the poverty of his own sin, as well as be a humble servant of others, aiding them with the spiritual battle with principalities and powers. And this brings me to my point. It's easy for us to say somewhat self-righteously, imagine people so blind, so stupid, so foolish, as to beg Jesus to leave their town. But is this really so hard for us to imagine? Is the picture of people begging Jesus to keep out of their lives such a struggle for us, so strange to us? What makes this gospel so intriguing, I think, is that it reflects the battle that goes on in the hearts of each one of us. The Gadarenes resented Jesus as a disturber and as an upsetter of their familiar ways. They had grown comfortable with the demonic in their midst. They had managed very well with the two demoniacs exiled to the rock tombs. And they feared change more than they feared demonic possession. In effect, they said to Jesus, "Your power is too intrusive. Your word is too unsettling, more unsettling than the demons who have been silenced." And so they say the same thing to Jesus that he said to the demons. get out, leave us. Most often we don't use so direct and so brutal a language as this, but our response may mimic that of the Gadarene citizens. We may not want Jesus in our lives because his presence is too disturbing to us. In fact, our response may even be closer to that of the demons in the gospel. When confronted with Jesus and his teachings, we say, as they did, and the Greek is very specific here, "What have we to do with you, O Son of God? What have we to do with you, O Son of God?" We have nothing in common. Stay out of our lives. What I do is no concern of yours. My behavior, my use of the things of this world, my moral life, my state, the state of my heart is my own business. Leave me. All of this shows us the troublesome aspect of Jesus' word in our lives. His word throws us out of ourselves. It doesn't allow us to rest in the sin that we have grown all too comfortable with, that has become the acceptable norm in our day-to-day lives. It will seem to us, when we hear it, to be the exiling agent of the self, just as it exiled the demons out of the men into the swine. But in all of this, God, in his great love, is inviting us to enter into his invincible peace by going out of our home. He's inviting us to enter into his rest, the rest of the kingdom, by leaving our own. Many years ago, when I was a young man, headed down the aisle from my own ordination to the priesthood, a young priest, a friend of mine, standing next to me, said, "How are you feeling?" And I said, "Terrified." And he looked at me quite simply, and he said, "Good." I knew that he wasn't being sarcastic. I knew that he wasn't being mean. He's being honest. Good. About a week ago, I talked to young Miron and felt compelled to ask the same question, "How are you feeling?" And he said to me, "I'm frightened." And I could only say the same words to him, the same word, "Good." St. Paul tells us we work out our salvation in fear and trembling. If we believe that salvation came to us and comes to us without a bloody warfare against sin, then we are all laboring under the most profound of delusions. A delusion that Father Miron must crush on this, the very first days of his priesthood. Grace alone cast out all that resists life and love. Grace alone cast all out all fear from within our hearts. Let us pray today that we in Miron may embrace this grace at every moment of our lives.